We're going to start with Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 1 through 16 today. And I want to read some things, and we can use either one, Dave, King James, or NLT. It doesn't make any difference. Whichever one, the NLT, I guess, will be okay. Or yeah, that'll be fine. In Ecclesiastes 4, Solomon's writing these things, and he says, "Again, I observed all the oppression that takes place in our world." Have you noticed any oppression that takes place in our world today? It says, "I saw the tears of the oppressed." Do we see people crying everywhere? I mean, the oppression, in other words, nothing has changed, has it? We still have people that are oppressed, people that are sick and afflicted and dying early. I said, "I saw the tears of the oppressed with no one to comfort them." No one to comfort them. "The oppressors have great power, and the victims are helpless." Who are the oppressors that have great power? Under the old covenant, who are the oppressors that have great power on this earth? Satan and his host of demons. They have great power. What gives them great power? Sin. This thing has been going on ever since the beginning. You remember whenever God made Adam and Eve, and then he put his first two sons here, Cain and Abel. And of course, Cain killed Abel. And before he killed him, you know, God come to him and told him, you know, said, "You know, sin's crouching at your door. It will have you, if you let it. But you don't have to let it." That's what he's trying to say. You do not have to let this sin come upon you. But he listened to the oppressor instead of God, and he went ahead because he was angry with his brother, and he killed his brother. And, of course, judgment has come upon him and his race of people ever since, and it's still there. But it says, "I saw all this. With no one to comfort them, the oppressors have great power, and the victims are helpless. So I concluded," now this is him thinking about how things work back there. This was before the coming of Jesus. "So I concluded that the dead are better off than the living." You know, in other words, if you were just oppressed and you were beat up on and you were starving to death and your children were dying and everything else, it would be, you can understand where he's coming from here, right? He says, "So I concluded that the dead are better off than the living." And to a degree, that may be true. I mean, even in the future, those that are not willing to put God first, it probably, in fact, the scripture goes so far to say in the book of Revelation that in these last days, when God judges the wicked, now, anybody don't put him first, he classifies it wicked. So he says, "When I judge the wicked, I'm going to fix it where man cannot die. You will not be able to die." Do you know that's written in the book of Revelation? You will not be able to die. "I'm going to torment you with demons for 5 months. He said, "You're going to beg to die, but I won't let you." Somebody's going to say, "I'm going to get up on the tallest building in the world, and I'm going to jump off because I want to die." And he goes flying through the air, and gravity still works, and he gets to the ground, and he splatters all over everything, but it don't kill him. Now he's in worse pain than he was. Bones are broken. Organs are all messed up, but he can't die. But he's in pain. Or he says, "Somebody just kill me. Put a gun to my head and blow my head off." They put a gun to your head and pull the trigger. Blows the whole side of your head off, but it doesn't kill you. When we were out at GLC, we learned something about Miss Faye Harden. We went out there to fill in for her the other night because that night she was supposed to be there Thursday night. And, of course, a couple of weeks before, three jihad Muslim terrorists broke into her home and tried to kill her, put the pistol to her head. She's screaming the name of Jesus, and they're pulling the trigger, and the gun will not go off. Now, is God still in control? But think what she had to go through anyway. When they couldn't kill her with a gun because the gun wouldn't fire, they took the gun butt and began to hit her in the face and broke all kinds of bones in her cheek. And it didn't kill her, but she had to go in and had surgery, put pins, screws, all kinds of stuff in her cheekbones to put them back together. So does that sound like she was oppressed? Hey, I wouldn't want that to be me. And then, of course, you talk about racism coming to the surface. I saw a black man on a TV program this week. This is awful. He said the only niggers in the world are white people. He said, white people are niggers. And he said, every white person in the world is our problem on this earth, and there's only one thing to do with white people, and that's kill them. I thought, and you wonder why I got a gun in my house? Because with a few of those, now we got those kind of people, both every color and creed. This one just happened to be black, and he had everything against the white people. But I got some very good black friends. You know, I mean some very good ones, and I love them, and they love me. And so I've got good friends, but it's when the devil is living in somebody, I don't care what color you are, you can be white, brown, red, black, makes no difference. When the devil gets in you, the goal of the enemy is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And we're coming up on some of these terrible, devastating times. And of course, the enemy, you can see him when he's like that. But when the enemy comes against us today in the church as an invisible being, a demon, you can't see him. But he will come to you and he'll begin to afflict your body, and because he has legal right because of sin. But that, just like Dave said there a while ago, that scripture that he read in Psalms 91, how many of you believe that scripture is true? If that scripture is true, it clearly says if you, he could have put my name there, if Thurman, if Scott, he could have put our name in there, couldn't he, Scott? But he didn't. He said if you, that way he got all of us, didn't he? If you will make me, the Most High God, your dwelling place, and see, people don't know what it means to make God their dwelling place. I mean, they may go to church once a month, or maybe once every 6 months, or they may be like some I know that go on Christmas and Easter. Or they may not go at all, but yet you say, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. You go to church with your wife? Well, no, she goes to church, but I don't go. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm okay. Why do you not think you're okay? Well, I heard a preacher preach years ago when I was 15 years old, if I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I had eternal salvation. So I have eternal security, and all I got to do now is just believe just like I did when I got saved 50 years ago. Have you done anything for Jesus since then? Nope. Have you led anybody to Jesus? Nope. You go to church? Nope. What's wrong with you? Oh, I'm dying with cancer. Oh. Well, the invisible demons of hell are after you. And to get well, you're going to have to repent. Just like Dave up there. Dave had been a churchgoer. He was raised up in a church. But he was under a curse. When Dave came to me, the man that was standing right down here a while ago, that man, when he came here, he was afflicted with an incurable disease he had had all of his life. But I showed him from God's Word what he was doing wrong and what he had done wrong and the curse he was under. And we broke that curse that Jesus paid for, and we stood on God's Word. And today, that man, did he look very sick a while ago? No, he doesn't look sick at all. In fact, I've got something to say about the babies. You know, the third one, little Joshua, he turned out to be so far the biggest one. And so they had lots of trouble with little John, didn't have quite so much trouble with Evelyn. But, of course, we'd learn how to pray and everything else when it come to Joshua. And so Joshua, she was huge with Joshua. Some of us thought she was going to have twins. You know, I mean, she's about this big, you know. Maybe I'm stretching that a little, but somewhere out there, you know, she's really a big girl. And so we're getting ready to go out to eat that night at 6 o'clock, Cheryl and I, on Saturday night. I walked up, and Yesha's sitting there, you know, here with this big baby sticking out in front of her. And I said, Yesha, when's that baby going to be born? She said, when the Lord's ready, Thurman, when the Lord's ready. I said, how do you feel? She said, great, 6 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Cheryl and I go to dinner. We talked to some people, and finally at 10 o'clock that night, 4 hours later, we come bouncing back in the door. And I said, well, praise God, how's everybody? Dave said, come in and look at our new boy. I said, what? He said, yeah, he started out of there. He said, I called the midwife, and she said, what do you see? And he said, I see a little head coming out. She said, I better get there quick. Well, 15 minutes later, that little guy, which weighed over 10 pounds, was laying on the bed. I mean, he come right out of there. I mean, it's just something how quick he come out of there. But isn't it amazing that the closer you walk with God, God delivers your babies. You know, it's amazing what God will do. But it says, so I concluded that the dead are better off than the living. I mean, there's a lot of people today that feel like that. You know that? I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I'd rather be dead than where I'm at. You ever heard people say that? Why? Because they're being oppressed. In other words, if they're walking in obedience to God's word, and there's no sickness and disease in their life, and they're walking in divine health, and God is providing all the resources for everything you need. Your house is paid off. Your car is paid off. You got money in the bank. Your children are healthy. Everybody's well. I mean, who wants to die in a case like that? Nobody. It's only when you're oppressed in sickness and pain do you even think about going ahead and dying. But you got to realize that it's the sin of that you have committed that's bringing this sickness and disease upon you. And so, of course, once Dave repented of all his sins and we started standing on the Word, Dave got well. And, of course, he's just one of thousands we've seen this happen to. Now, verse 3 and 4. 3 and 4. And most fortunate of all are those who were never born. Somebody says, wow, if you had never been born, you're better off than anybody. It says, for they have never seen all the evil that is done in our world. Why is there evil in our world? Where does evil come from? Okay, but let's stop and think about this a minute. I want us to turn to a scripture. I want us to stay right there, but I want us to turn to a scripture in Isaiah 45, 5 through 7. And I want you to see what God's Word says here. Isaiah 45, 5 through 7. Let's look at this. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord. There is none else. Now, do we believe that? We do believe that. Okay, verse 7 and 8. I form the light, and I create darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. So where does evil come from? It comes from God. See, we do not understand where things come from. Yes, God uses the devil to bring that to reality, but he's the one that gives the order. He is the one that says, I form the light. If there's light, where did it come from? From God. That's absolutely right. He made the light. And, you know, the strange thing, that light, we look at the sun and we say, you know, look at that beautiful light. But that's not true. God made the light very first thing. But he made the sun on the fourth day. He didn't make it on the first day, but he made light. I formed the light and I created darkness. So if you got light or darkness, who made them? God did. That's what the scripture says. Then he says, I make peace. Why do some people live in peace all the time and some can't ever live in peace?
We're going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, The Comforter Lives in You, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.